speak to us this day, that with the shepherds we may receive those glad tidings of great joy and find hope in your name. Amen. One of my favourite things each year here at St. George's at Christmas is singing carols around Battery Point. Some of you joined me last night. It was lots of fun. But I have to admit that some of the words in the carols are pretty strange. Sometimes the words were common, perhaps centuries ago when the carol was written, but now we never hear them except in the carol. And O Come All Ye Faithful is a particularly bad offender. Before we get to the glorious sing choirs of angels in verse 6, we have to wade our way through. Lo, he abhors not in verse 2. We too will thither in verse 3. Bring our hearts oblations in verse 4. And fain we embrace thee in verse 5. For folks like our Chinese friends coming to Australia, Christmas is a linguistic nightmare. What on earth do those words mean? Well, just briefly, lo means look. Abhor means to think is disgusting. Thither means to that place. Oblation means gift. And fain means gladly. So now you know next time you sing the carol. Christmas may seem quaint and old-fashioned to some, a bit like those obscure words. And it certainly is old. We celebrate the birth of Jesus of Nazareth over 2,000 years ago. But with Christmas, we touch the thrill of hope that we need today just as much as the shepherds did on that first Christmas night. The Bible gives three accounts of Jesus' birth. Matthew recounts the event from the perspective of Joseph, Jesus' adoptive earthly father. Luke from Mary's perspective, but this morning I'd like to explore John's account. This is the cosmic and eternal, the divine perspective, if you like. And we're going to look at just one short sentence. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Let's see whether I can find that. Here we go. So let's meditate on these familiar words and yet strange words together. So the Word, who is it whose birth we celebrate at Christmas? Well, John names him as the Word. What does John mean here? We use words to communicate. They say that actions speak louder than words, and sometimes that's true. But it's with words that we reveal what is going on the inside for us. With words, we reveal who we are. And so John can say in verse 18 that this one, the Word, is he who reveals to us the Father, God himself. We need not be in the dark about who God is because Jesus has made him known. Later in John's gospel, Jesus says, if you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. How is it that this Word can reveal the eternal God who is the source of all that exists? Because he himself is with God and is himself God. He's the one through whom the Father has made all things and in whom all things exist. And that's what we read in verses 1 to 4. In the beginning, John writes, was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humanity. We come here to the mystery of the Holy Trinity, the one God in three persons in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mystery because God is beyond us. But in the Son whose birth we celebrate today, he is revealed to us. And the question for you and for me is, will we receive his Word this Christmas? Will you let his word, Christ, reveal God to you? Not your thoughts on God, not what Krishna or Buddha or Muhammad or whoever else says about God, but this one, the word of the Father, now in flesh, appearing as we sing. And that brings us to that second part of this sentence, became flesh. In Latin, this is incarne, where we get the word incarnation from. That God exists is not the extraordinary thing about Christmas. Most people around the world and through the ages have believed in God in one form or another. True atheism is a minor historical oddity. No, the extraordinary thing about Christmas is that God was born as a human being, as one of us. This is what that great carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, captures. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. The eternal God is veiled, hidden, clothed in human flesh. He's pleased to dwell with us as one of us. Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the extraordinary humility of God, that he, the Lord, should become a servant, that he, the Creator, should become a creature, that the infinite would take on the finite. The early theologians of the church never cease to marvel in this paradox, that the one who contains all things who cannot be contained was contained in Mary's womb. The one who holds all things in his hands was himself cradled by his mother. He stoops to our humanity to raise us to his divinity. What dignity and worth is bestowed upon each and every person, each and every one of you, that God would share in our humanity. Each and every moment of life is made holy by his incarnation, conception, birth, childhood, adolescence, learning, work, rest, laughter, suffering, joy, sorrow, even dying and death itself. No part of our humanity is beyond his reach. Well, how about that next phrase? He's made his dwelling among us. Not coming to visit, not popping over for a cuppa and then leaving you alone. Dwelling among us, coming to live permanently. The particular word for dwelling literally means pitched his tent. And that reminds us of the ancient story of God's people in the Old Testament. When God rescued the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt, he instructed Moses to build a tent to be erected in the middle of the camp. And this was the tent where God's presence would come to live among his people. In time, that tent was replaced by a temple. But now it is in Jesus himself that God has come to live in the midst of his people. Jesus' own body is the temple where God makes his dwelling. Now, Jesus, of course, is not physically with us now. He's ascended to the Father's right hand where he still lives in the flesh of his humanity. But he has poured out his spirit to live in us and among us. Now the church, the body of Christ, is the temple in which God dwells by his spirit. He's here now, present with us. And he dwells in each of the church's members, all those who trust in Christ. That the word became flesh and dwelt among us reminds us that he still dwells among us by his Holy Spirit. So if you want to see where God is at work in the world, look at the church. It may not be fashionable. It's certainly not flashy. It's very often out of step with the rest of society. But it is here that you will find God at work. So when you receive his invitation today for you to come and live where he dwells among his people. Well, all of this can seem remote, perhaps a bit removed from our everyday experience. It was, after all, 2,000 years ago. But here the final word gives us the most wonderful promise. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, even you and me. How could he come to someone like me with all the mess of my life, you might ask? Or maybe you think yourself poor, unworthy. Well, what were the shepherds? But poor and humble, and yet the angel came first to them. Maybe you think you're not educated enough to understand these mysteries. Well, the shepherds were definitely not the scholars of their day, simple folk, and yet they were the first to grasp this wonderful news. Maybe that you think that Christianity is a Western religion, that you have to give up your cultural heritage to become a Christian. Well, look at the wise men. They came from the East to worship him. They offered him the best of their culture, those gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There is room for you and for your culture at Jesus' feet. But you, maybe, the wise men were the intellectuals of their day. There's room for you who ask the big questions, who seek the truth. But you have to bow before the manger and offer him your gifts. Maybe you think that Christianity elevates men and denigrates women. Well, who was it who bore the highest honor to bear the Savior? Mary, his mother. And of course, Joseph is there too, in quiet strength, giving space for his fiancée, listening to God. Maybe you think you're too old for all of this. It's just for kids. Or maybe that your time has passed. Or consider ancient Simeon and Anna, who find hope and joy cradling the Christ child in their arms. Christ, you see, has come for all of us, each one of us. Each of us can find our story caught up in his. He has come to make his dwelling among us. The question is, will you receive him? John writes that he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He has come to us and for us, but it is possible to reject him. And yet to receive him is to become a child of God. Receive Jesus and God will adopt you into his family so that you may share in the very relationship that he has eternally with his Father. This is his promise. This is his Christmas gift to you and to me. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He's come to dwell among us. He offers to dwell in you by his Holy Spirit. This Christmas, will you receive him? Will you believe in his name? He will come to you and make you a child of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the extraordinary gift of your Son, the Word made flesh, who has come and dwelt among us. We thank you that you pour out your Holy Spirit on all who call on Christ, that in his name, as we receive, we can become your children. Help us to receive Christ this day. May he be born anew in our hearts, that we may receive life in his name. Amen.